Ted Lefroy is the director of the Centre for Environment at the University of Tasmania. Hello, Ted.
Morning, Rick.
And has brought with him Todd Haustein, Executive Officer of Sustainable Living Tasmania. Hello, Todd.
Good morning.
Whose crazy idea is this?
I think I'd have to own up to that one.
Okay. And why do you want Tasmania to be like the Vatican or Bhutan?
I started off looking, you know, it's the think global, act local kind of perspective, and thinking about climate change, it's looking at the challenge ahead. How much carbon does all of humanity have left to kind of emit before we've gone too far? And it turns out we've used about 90% already, and we're probably going to overshoot that. So what everyone's job is, if we want to secure a safe climate, is to get down to zero emissions, and then probably we'll need to go beyond that, pulling carbon back out of the atmosphere and putting it into soils and trees. We're going to do that as quickly as possible. And I think Tassie can do that really well, really quickly, and thrive in the process.
Ted, how are we doing so far with emissions reduction in Tasmania?
Well, we've got natural advantages because of nearly half the island being in forest, which is madly fixing carbon while we sleep. And also the shift in forestry from short rotation forests and sending a lot of it to paper into longer rotation for structural timber and other uses. That's helping. In fact, if you look at Tasmania's carbon emissions, the biggest change in the last decade has been the amount that the forests are fixing. They're now a net sink of carbon, and they used to put out, Todd, remember the number, was it 7 million tonnes?
8 million tonnes.
8 million tonnes a year?
They now sequester about 7 million tonnes a year.
So okay. It's gone from plus 8 to minus all 7 right. Very quickly. So that gives us an advantage. The other thing is hydro, of course. You know, the vast majority of our power is generated by hydro, so that's a real advantage.
Is there, Todd, much point in Tasmania doing it? We're so close anyway. As an example to the world, we're like, Tasmania's carbon neutral, and they go, oh, wasn't it already?
Well, we've still got a ways to go. And like I said, we've actually got to go beyond zero because the whole world's going to overshoot. And so we need to be pulling carbon back out of the atmosphere. And I believe that Tassie can be carbon neutral by 2035 and then a net sink for the rest of the century, actually pulling really large volumes of carbon back out of the atmosphere. And I think that Tassie can thrive in the process.
Is there cash to be made out of that, Ted Lefroy, Todd, if we become a carbon sink? Is that a possible income source? Would, you know, the mega cities in China that seem to pop up every second day be paying us to do that?
Well, yeah, there are people already making money from carbon farming. In fact, one of the people on our leadership team, Peter Downey, is a sheep farmer, but he's also a carbon farmer, and he's been getting some income from growing trees for quite a while now, I think, Ted.
Mm. Yeah, there's an NGO in Tasmania that is selling carbon credits to a major airline. So there's some real innovators in Tasmania who are already making money out of it on a small scale. And what we're suggesting is this could become a feature of the state, not just a few individuals.
And I suppose it's a story to tell as much as anything else. What would need to change then for us to be not just, I guess, carbon neutral, but a carbon sink?
Well, there's a few big big slices of the pie of Tasmania's emissions. The first one is transport. It makes up about 21%, and a lot of that's cars. Secondly, there's the industrial processes, so the big industries that we have in Tas. And thirdly, there is enteric fermentation, which is a fancy word for the burps and farts of cows and sheep. So that each of those three make up about 21% of Tasmania's emissions.
Okay, well, we can assume that cars are just going to drop out over time, really, aren't they? If we're not all driving electric cars in 10 years, then something will have gone wrong. Would you think, Ted?
But I think the mistake is just assuming it's going to happen, and that's the point of this initiative that Todd started, is to set a target, set a year, get a group of people together and try and do it. Because if we're all thinking, oh, it's sort of going to happen anyway.
But it is sort of happening anyway, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, 1990, what is in your own release? Since 1990, we've reduced our emissions by 90%.
Yes.
Since 1990 levels.
Almost solely due to the collapse of the forest industry, the native woodchip industry.
Right.
So the other four or five sectors have all actually gradually increased a little bit.
Right.
So they're actually heading in the wrong direction. It's just masked by the changes in the forest industry. But you were mentioning before that we can perhaps make money by selling offsets. It's also the money that we can save by making these changes. So with electric vehicles, for example, we currently have about $1 billion leaving the state every year to pay for liquid fossil fuels. If we don't have to pay that anymore because we're all driving electric vehicles powered by hydro and wind, that's a huge economic boon to the state.
That's a lot of money to spend, isn't it, at the supermarket?
Yeah.
Absolutely. What about industry who will just be looking at this going, oh, here's the Greens trying to chip away at our profits again, take our money and make industry sound bad?
Well, we want to bring them on board. I mean, well, I don't know a great deal about metallurgy or anything like that. So, you know, I want to bring them on board, and I'm sure that they've been looking at this, I mean, for quite a few years as well, and I'd love to hear what their plans are. The challenges as well, and how we might overcome them and reduce the emissions from those industrial sectors too. Because they're important to have. You know, Tassie, we could lose those industries and they could go somewhere else, like Victoria, which has about 4 or 5 times the emissions in their electricity grid. And so if we lost one of those industries to Victoria, the whole world's emissions would go up enormously, and we don't want that. You know, the purpose of this is to solve global climate change, not just reduce Tasmania's emissions.
So, Ted, theoretically, if we became a carbon sink, we could attract more industry here if greenness becomes a global priority, if emissions are a global priority, to say, well, you can have a lower emission industry here.
Absolutely. And I think Tasmania has a responsibility to contribute as much as it can to Australia's target. You know, the Paris Agreement, which was signed in December last year, comes into effect on Friday. So the goal was, even though 191 countries signed it, until 55 countries that represented 55% of emissions actually ratified it and said, yes, we'll, this is binding, it wasn't actually any more than a concept. And that happened on the 5th of October, I think, 4th of October. So 30 days from that, which is this Friday, it comes into effect. So that's binding. And yet there's not a great deal of leadership nationally on this. There's, you know, there's quite conflicted views.
Well, they're very busy stopping those double-dipping mums from taking their parenting payments.
For whatever
it's a big
reason.
Job, Ted Lefroy.
They're very busy. But there's and the other interesting thing, if you look at the countries that have made pledges and made commitments, about half of them have been led by government, but the other half have been led by community groups, and that's what's happening here. So Todd and I aren't experts in a lot of this, but the idea is to try and rope in as many people who know about soil carbon, who know about industrial processes, and then see if we can build up some momentum as a community group.
And the energy around it is positive, it seems, in terms of wanting to make sure that things can happen here, industrial processes can happen here, that you can get like decent, you know, jobs, economy, money spinning out of it. So who would you like to see joining up with you, Todd?
Anyone with the expertise necessary. And so that's across all of those sectors. It's really the entire Tasmanian economy will need to shift in some way, shape or form, some parts more than others. And so we need experts in agriculture, in forestry, in those industrial processes. We've already got quite a few links in the energy sector, but we can always do with more people to really firm up our plans and make sure that they're practical and possible to achieve.
There's a big issue with cows and sheep, aren't there, and dairy. I mean, I'll come to those in just a second. Dave's in Newtown has a question for you this morning. Just pop your headphones on, gentlemen. It's 7:15 on 936 ABC Hobart. You're listening to Ted Lefroy, Director for the Centre for Environment at the University of Tasmania, who's here with Todd Huestein, Executive Officer of Sustainable Living Tasmania. And they're launching today a target, the Climate Solutions Project, which aims to get Tasmania emissions neutral, or possibly negative in a positive way, by 2035. Dave, what's your question? Good morning.
Good morning for Todd and
Ted.
Ted. Comalco is often seen as a negative for Tasmania, but it makes aluminium, and every solar panel put on a house roof has an aluminium frame. My estimate is that if steel were used instead of aluminium, then roofs would need strengthening, and it would cost a huge lot more, apart from the corrosion aspects if steel were used. So I see it as a very valuable asset to Tasmania for industries like Comalco, like the zinc works in Hobart, which makes zinc to combat corrosion, that they're that they are essential to Tasmania. And it's very easy to preach carbon neutral society, but we need those industries to help the process, and we need those industries for jobs in Tasmania.
Thanks, Dave. Are you suggesting that we de-industrialise, Todd?
No, absolutely not. I mean, Dave's spot on there. We need aluminium, we need zinc to make lightweight vehicles that are much more efficient and can actually get a decent range with the current battery technologies, and for a whole bunch of other reasons. So, you know, these are crucial, and they should be in a place that has a really clean grid like Tasmania currently does.
So more of it here in some ways, but it's about finding how to make the economy itself, when you're using intensive energy for those industries, to be balanced elsewhere. Just on the farts and burps, because there's 21% of emissions, Ted Lefroy. Yeah. Can we make a difference to that in any fundamental way beyond just eating less meat, which is a bit of a bum then if you're in the business of trying to sell more meat?
Yeah, it looks like we can. There was an intriguing story in the conversation you might have picked up 2 weeks ago about some research by CSIRO and James Cook University looking at seaweed as an additive to cattle feed. And there's a particular red seaweed that even at 2% of the diet reduced those emissions by 50 to 70% in ruminant animals. So, and the process is not fully understood, but it's a very exciting prospect. That, and apparently this has been known. I was talking to a friend and he said it's been known for a long time. If you put a tiny bit of seaweed, like dry flake seaweed, in with chickpeas or beans when you're cooking them, it reduces the amount of gas that results.
Is it the agar or something? We were talking with someone, because someone here is doing those additives as well.
Well, the particular seaweed is called Asparagopsis taxiformis, and I think it's from Southeast Asia somewhere. And now the next challenge is, how do we farm that in sufficient quantities that every cow, especially lot-fed cattle, could have 2% of that in their diet? But the remarkable thing is a tiny piece in the diet has a huge effect on their emissions. So, look, there are ways that could be reduced.
Which then leaves a lot of room for aluminium production. Todd, if people want to find out more or ask questions like Dave's to go, well, you couldn't do it without this or that. I mean, they're the kind of sort of voices you need, really.
Absolutely. Yep.
How do people get hold of you?
I jump onto Sustainable Living Tasmania's website at slt.org.au /climate solutions will get you to this particular project. We'll also be hanging out at the Sustainable Living Festival. And, you know, if you just want to come up and have a chat to us about what it would mean for Tassie to become carbon neutral, then please do so.
Is it a language thing where you need to, like, have words that are more positive than sink?
Yeah.
Become sort of, like, industry delightful or something. Yes, we can have lots of industry and lots of business because we can do it so well at you know, profitably.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
carbon profitable. Let's be carbon profitable.
I've been introducing myself as, you know, Todd from Sustainable Living Tas, a non-profit and a non-government organisation, and, you know, we kind of non-climate change, but instead of framing it that way, I want to say not what we're against, but what we're for.
Yeah.
So we're for climate solutions. We're a community organisation and we're for purpose.
And the other thing, to Dave's point, is we're looking at the whole economy by sector. Now, not every sector of the economy can be carbon neutral by that time, but it's the net effect of all of them.
It's 10 to 7. You can get more information there about how to make Tasmania carbon profitable.